The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning all, this is Ryan Tuberty with you on Friday morning. It is 9:05 on the 9th of April 2021. We're here till 10 o'clock this morning and of course up until 11:30 or thereabouts tonight. 51551 is the text number and you can email us on ryan@rte.ie. That being, tonight being of course the Late Late Show, in case you're wondering. We're going to do a marathon radio show that kept going all day long and into the night. No. I'll get back after the show and I'll turn on the radio and I listen to Faith No Brain on doing his beautiful show with his gorgeous choice of music and his very easy voice. His voice is perfect for late night, early morning radio. Absolutely perfect. Great show if you haven't heard it. And Colin Murray does an absolutely splendid job as well. So these are really important, I think, time slots for radio programs because they hit a certain audience that have the inclination to listen to that time of the night or in the morning. Probably people on shifts going crazy, getting in, getting out. So anyway, that's a by-the-by. Is there a bit of skullduggery going on about the vaccines? Have you noticed that? There's kind of, I didn't realise I wasn't allowed to have them. And which is fair enough, there's an innocence to that. But you can't take it back out of their arm. You shouldn't have given you that. Just get it back out. The feather, as we say about gossip, has left the pillow and won't be coming back. So if you get it, you get it. And you know, somebody contacted me yesterday after the programme about the comments I was making about the British are all over their herd immunity and they've got their vaccine, saying, yeah, but they got it by, you know, spurious means and it wasn't very nice what they did and in terms of exporting and importing. And I understood the point entirely. It was a well-made point. But I think ultimately the great British public don't really care about imports and exports. They just want the vaccination. And it's beginning to happen here. I'm hearing apocryphal stories of so-and-so got it and so-and-so else got it. You know, well, I don't know if they meant to get it or not. And then it seems to be, well, if you can, you can. It's an opportunity knock situation for some people. And yet there is a queue. There is a system. But like all systems, there are ways around it. And I don't think it's distinctly Irish to find your way around the system. But I'd say every country's doing it if you can get it. But it's just interesting to see it getting kind of Stasiland. Did you hear your man got it? Did you hear your one got it? Can't believe it. Your man up the road got the vaccine. And then people probably have the vaccine, don't want to admit they have it because they shouldn't have it. Oh, it's interesting to watch. Sociologically, anthropologically, fascinating to watch humans at work. There's the order. There's the system. There's the cue. There's the prize. Do you want to play ball or do you want to game it? You decide. Vaccine 2021. And 51551 is the text number. I was watching the television probably about 4 o'clock yesterday and I often flick on CNN to see what's happening in God Bless America. And it was the George Floyd trial and there was a doctor giving evidence. And I said, that's a soft Irish tea. And then I listened in closer with my ear and I thought, hang on a second, he's completely Irish. And sure enough, his name came up. Dr. Martin Tobin. And I thought, well, not only is he Irish, but he's also giving very clear and concise evidence at this enormously important trial. This isn't as much a trial about one man's death as it is about a race system in a country riven with problems on this subject. I often thought when I was young and was much younger, when I saw the police beating the lard out of who's just completely escaped Wood this week, Wood, Rodney King. And I thought, well, gee, that's the end of that. I mean, now that we've seen that on footage and film, it's never going to happen again. And then you have a series of shootings and, you know, seemingly innocent people being shot. And then the Floyd case. So this is the latest, sad to say, of these cases. OJ being the big one then, of course. That was as much about one man and one family's loss and sadness as it was about the race thing. You remember that? And here we are with George Floyd. And back to this Dr. Martin Tobin. So I took a picture of him on the TV and I put it on Instagram and got these massive response from people saying not only did they admire the way he was giving his evidence, but also things like, oh yeah, he's my uncle, or he's from... where is it? They told me he was from Freshford in County Kilkenny. And he trained in UCD. So a lot of papers have it today, that the details of who he was, or sorry, who he is, and including the CNN correspondent Sarah Seidner, who says this trial resumes with a witness that has the most lovely accent. He's a doctor, a pulmonologist, originally from Ireland, and all I could think of is he's a countryman of Donie O'Sullivan, who's, of course, the correspondent with CNN. We've spoke to him in the late, late. His expertise is impeccable, and he has been studying lungs and breathing for 40 years, written dozens of articles, and won some of the most prestigious awards. And our man in Washington, Brian O'Donovan, said Irishman Dr. Martin Tobin is testifying at the trial, and he's studied at UCD as a pulmonary expert. He said George Floyd died from a low level of oxygen, which caused damage to his brain and caused his heart to stop. And it was that level, that point of the trial they were at that involved Martin Tobin's involvement. But I just thought he did a splendid job, just professional, courteous, and, as I say, concise and clear, which is critical. Now, another bits and pieces I have for you this morning. This is the thing about gaming the system and working your way around vaccinations. The New York Times reported on something which I thought, because there were some reports this week about certain shops will open to those who are vaccinated. And I thought, well, that's going to lead to an unholy mess, especially in Ireland. You arrive at the door. Harry Martin, are you well? Yeah, I'm grand. Can I get a haircut? Are you vaccinated? I'm not. Okay, no, you can't. But the others are getting a haircut. They're vaccinated. Are you vaccinated? I'm not. Oh, come on, I've known you for 20 years. Come on, so. Damn. I mean, how can you say no to somebody at the door as you're watching all your... I just think it's open to all sorts of holes. It's a case of, I think, in some ways, one in, all in. Are we all vaccinated? We're in trouble. And then it comes to things like the vaccination passport, because you're going to have it. Are we not? If you're going to get on a plane, you're going to have a piece of paper or something on your phone that says, I have this thing. Otherwise, it's going to be messy again. But and so it comes to pass in the New York Times reporting that on Etsy and eBay and Facebook and Twitter, little rectangular slips of paper started showing up for sale in late January. And they're printed on cardstock, measured 3 by 4 inches and featuring crisp black lettering, costing between $20 and $60 each, about a discount on bundle of three or more. Laminated ones cost extra. And all these were forgeries or falsified copies of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention vaccination cards that are given to people who have been inoculated against the virus in the United States. In other words, fake vaccine passports. It's already big business. So like I was saying about skipping the queue or just trying to get your vaccine, where there's a system, there's a gangster. You know, there's always someone you're trying to play the system or outfox it. The coronavirus, says the New York Times, has made opportunists out of many people, like those who hoarded bottles of hand sanitizer at the start of the pandemic, or those who cheated recipients out of their stimulus checks. And now online scammers have latched on to the latest profit-making initiative, the little white cards that provide proof of shots. And some people will say, yeah, that's the way, you know, that's the world. You know, don't be so stuck on the rules. But I suppose it's just a little bit different on this one. Laura said, tweets to say, I never want to go back to office-based working. I now take a lunch break. And I do yoga as opposed to eating an interrupted lunch at my desk. And I use my commute time rather than sitting in traffic on a crowded bus. And I can make a nice dinner at 5 o'clock, not get in late, starving. So that's a yes to staying at home. But that's going to be depending on who you meet on a given day, that's for sure. The Forbes list, 30 under 30, lots of Irish people in that list, including Paul Mescal, obviously, for Normal People. But other people you may not have heard of, included in the entertainment category, Neil Dunn is 25, a co-founder of an audio analysis company called Anderson. Jay Crooks is 22. She's a Bangladeshi-Irish singer-songwriter who's been getting comparisons to Amy Winehouse and Lauryn Hill, who's going to play her at some point. William Cunahan is founded Change Donations with Lizzie Hayashida. And they did a startup of a micro donation company helping charities connect with the younger generation of donors. This is really good. Also, there is Ralph Alwani, who's 29, co-founder of Urban Scale Interventions, which is our future foil project to transform Derry's riverfront. Sorry, is what's happening there. And then this other person, These are all 29, so they're just in under the 30. Fiona Edwards-Murphy, co-founder of the chief executive of Apis Protect, which uses sensors and the Internet of Things technology to enable beekeepers to remotely track data from their hives. And there's loads of other people involved as well. Who else have we got? Elizabeth Gilligan, 29, co-founder of Material Evolution, a company that has developed algorithmic concrete, which is 5 times more durable than traditional concrete. Now, you wouldn't think concrete might be the most interesting thing in the world, but that is quite the achievement. So well done to all of them. I just think it's a really hopeful sign of the talent in the country at this time. So I love that. Congratulations to you all. At least 46% of Americans want to see Dwayne The Rock Johnson run for president. They've decided that, look, we've had Trump, let's keep going. But nearly 30% said they want to see Matthew McConaughey run for office because he's talking about doing it in Texas. But Johnson has said this before. In 2017, he told GQ that running was a real possibility. So he said he would consider a presidential run in the future if that's what the people wanted. So the pollsters weighed other celebrities favoured as possible presidents. So Tom Hanks got 22%. Will Smith, 21%. Angelina Jolie got 30%. Oprah Winfrey got 27%. But it was Dwayne The Rock Johnson who got 46%, came out on top of all of that. And nearly 50% of Americans said that celebrities are free to do what they want when it comes to running for office, and that A-listers could make good politicians if they had the right political attitude. Why not? Have you seen the line from Ross O'Carroll Kelly's daughter, Honor? We use our money to skip every other queue. Why should this one for the vaccine be any different? Indeed, not only did I see the line, but I spoke to the man himself about it on the Late Late Show last Friday. Paul Howard was very funny talking about that and how we were laughing at how prescient it was, given that situations not dissimilar to it arose around the place at one point in time. When I phoned my parents, says Claire in Dublin, in rural Ireland, the news of who has got the vaccine and who shouldn't have got the vaccine, really, or wasn't due to get the vaccine but got it anyway, has almost overtaken the usual, do you know who's dead conversation. Times are changing for a while anyway. Isn't that great? So you normally get the, hi Claire, hi, has it all gone great? Guess who died? Who? No. Now it's, you'll never guess who got the vaccine. And she wasn't even Jewish. Can you believe that? She got the vaccine. She was, I can't believe that. Brilliant. I'm from the North, living here in the South since 1996 as a Texan. All my friends here are saying to me, use your NHS number and go and get your vaccine. All my friends in the North have had their vaccine. My mum in the North is telling me to go and get the vaccine, but I can't. It's not right. I don't have a GP in the North anymore. I would feel a complete fraud jumping the queue, even though I have had breast cancer. Good Lord. You know, there was talk a few weeks ago of people digging out some old NHS number they had from a job they might have done years and years ago in the UK and heading straight over to get the vaccines. For some people, it's at any cost. That's it. Don't care about the ethics or morals of it. They just want the vaccine to get on with their lives. How will the people who shouldn't have received the first dose of the vaccine explain where they got it when they go in for their second dose? Will the vaccinator think that they're there for their first dose? That's going to be fun. No, I'd say whoever got the first dose has an understanding with the person delivering it. Regarding the second, I wouldn't say there's any issue about that. You don't kind of rock up for the second one and take pot luck. You go in with your appointment as per the arrangement. So no, I wouldn't say that's an issue at all. And another says, Dr. Tobin's delivery was not too fast. It was measured, clear, cool, concise and to the point. The whole thing was clear as crystal to the ear. Yeah, wasn't it just? I agree with you entirely. Therese in sunny West Cork says, thanks a million for the push recommendation. You enjoyed that book? Slightly uncomfortable, but a great read. Mind yourself. That's a great read. It'd be a great book club read, I would have thought. The Push. I'm back in with Louise Penny. I'm reading her back catalogue, essentially, with her Canadian detective, Armand Gamache. And it is so beautiful. And his relationship with his wife is so gorgeous. And it's a complicated story, of course. But each crime book that she writes, they're just beautiful. And they're wry. And they're not twee. They're smart and clever. And I know that every time I finish one, I might read something else just to give it a little break, but I'm always looking forward to get back to the next one. This is a box set I'd give to any crime writing loving reader ever. I'd say this is perfect for you now if you want a run of them. Louise Penny is her name. And read them in order. And if you ask me what order it is, look it up on the internet because it's there. Straight away, Louise Penny order of, and you'll get them that way. But definitely call your local bookshop and get busy. You won't go wrong with them. The age of chivalry is not dead, says Joan. Yesterday I was out shopping and I'd parked some distance away from the trolley bay, and I was unloading my messages from my trolley into my car. Two cool young guys pulled up and parked beside me. On exiting their car, one lad walked ahead towards the store and the other lad turned towards me and asked, "Would you like me to take your trolley back to the trolley bay?" I was amazed. I politely refused and thanked them, but that offer made my day. Long live chivalry and kindness. It's so true. Krispy Kreme, meanwhile, have announced that their donuts will be available from a select number of Tesco and Circle K stores next week. I'm in two minds about how I feel about this. I like an old Krispy Kreme. I like a Dunkin' Donut. And no doubt it's Boston Cream all the way, or a double choc. And even better if they're made that day. But the ones in the shops I'm finding look a little bit like they're sweating. They look like they might have been. I just don't know how much travelling has been done. I haven't bought one yet, but I'm just not sure. So I wish them well, but I need a little more proof of life. I'm just not sure they're fresh enough. Has anyone seen Nomadland? I've heard them. They've been nominated for every award in Kingdom Come, but I don't know if it's available to watch yet. I saw a trailer for it. It looked very boring. And this could be just my frame of mind, a little impatience with First Man and Nomadland. And yet I'm loving other things, of course. I keep mentioning Gamora and Veep and so forth. But Nomadland keeps getting these nominations. And if anyone has seen it, would you tell me to watch it or not? Would be great. The BAFTAs are on this week. This isn't the reason I'm talking about that. And there's a piece today about who should win and who will win awards. And I love looking at this. I saw a trailer for a film that looks so good and so raw and so gritty, but actually so terrifying and so close to us in terms of the past. Remember I mentioned Kosovo this week, because the new president. And there's a film called Quo Vadis Aida. And I watched the trailer for it. And it's essentially about a school teacher around the Balkan time and Srebrenica. And she's looking as Srebrenica is about to, the town in the Balkans that was about to it was besieged. Ultimately, and it was Mladic was the general who came along, if I remember correctly, and separated all the boys and the men, and they were slaughtered. And the UN were there, and it was just a terrifying time. Happened when we were all going about our business here, like so many other things. But it looks just terrific, but just a bit terrifying. So it's they're saying that should win, but it won't, because who's going to win? Nomadland is what they're saying is willing for the BAFTA for that. Very happy to see in some ways that in the best actress category, not sure you can say actress anymore, I'm not being smart, I just don't know what the language is there, but they're saying will win is somebody called Bucky Backray for a film called Rocks, but should win is Alfre Woodard for a film called Clemency, which I've never heard of. But sorry, what I wanted to say was, yes, this best supporting actress will win, they're saying, is Yoo Jung-yeon from Minari. Should win, Neve Algar, who's one of our great actresses for Calm with Horses. So that's good for her. Supporting actor will win Daniel Kaluuya from Judas and the Black Messiah, which I thought was a dreadful film, and should win Paul Ratchey from The Sound of Metal. Anyway, little take on the BAFTAs as they start to kick in for this weekend. And one last piece of news, which is quite good news, is that the latest industry survey from the Irish Hotels Federation shows early signs that hotels in certain parts of the country are beginning to see an uplift in bookings for July and August. I don't need to go into any detail, but soon the breakfast, how would you like your eggs? I haven't heard that question for a long time, will be asked, and we can enjoy a semblance of normality. So fingers crossed.